glad that you are tuned in to this daily word. It brings me great pleasure to bring this word to you. In times like these, we most definitely need a savior. When we look at the standoffs between the countries and the gulfs, and it's like a powder keg waiting to explode, literally. But there is a word from the Lord, and we are going to take a look in the book of Luke, a sermon that I had the privilege of preaching on a few weeks ago at my home church, which is the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church under the pastoralship of Pastor Milton T. Coble, where I serve as the minister of music as well as associate minister as well. I've been there since I was a child. My dad, the late Luther E. Smith, pastored that church for 40 plus years, and I accepted my calling up under his pastoralship, but it was the preaching of, who's also gone but not forgotten, Marcus Wright. When I accepted my calling, he was preaching the pastor and wife's anniversary, and some things had happened to me. This was back in 1999, so let you know, there are some things that happened to me that took place in my life, and I actually confessed it to my dad. To understand what Jonah went through, I'm not going to be coming out of that, but the situation I was in, I felt like I was in the belly of a whale, but because I was basically, when I look back on it, running from my calling. That's right. And when God has something for you to do, you can run, but you can't hide. So I accepted my calling, told my dad about it first, and made a public confession before the church, and been at it since 1999. Have I perfected this thing? I don't think no one ever perfects it. Because you can read a passage in the Bible one day and come back and read that same passage the next day, and God will give you something different that you didn't get the first time. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 18. We're dealing with a young man who came to Christ wanting to know what he could do to gain eternal life. But what I want you to understand is the condition he came in and the condition that he left in. So in Luke chapter 18, starting with the 18th verse, we're dealing with this rich young ruler. And I am going to tag this topic, the man who came to Jesus but left in a worse condition. I'll be coming out of the Christian Standard Bible version. So if you're reading a different version, yours may read differently, but we pray that the meaning is the same. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He says, "I have kept all these from my youth," he said. When Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. Now, there is some more to this that I'm going to read, but I want to look at verses 18 through 23 for right now. Verses 18 through 23. Because right now I want the focus to be on the rich young ruler. And before we go any farther, let's pause for a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are using me as a vessel. I ask that you fill me up that I may spread the words that need to be heard. For I am only the waiter, but you are the chef, and you know what the people need to eat. And I just set the entree and the dinner on the table. It's up to everybody else to eat. For your word said, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we pray that this word will not fall on deaf ears. We pray that this word will encourage someone that after they have an encounter with you, that they will not leave in a worse condition, but that they will leave in a better condition, that they will be like the woman at the well and will go tell somebody that they met a man named Jesus. These and other blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. This is for his sake. Amen. So we're looking at Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. So a man approached Jesus and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" In Matthew, he's described as a young man, Matthew 19, verse 20. Luke says here that he was a ruler. All three synoptic gospels tell us he was rich. Matthew 19 and 22, Mark 10 and 22, Luke 18 and 23. Thus, he is typically referred to as the rich young ruler. Jesus asked him, in verse 19, asked the man, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Before talking to him about how to get to heaven and to receive the rewards of inheritance, Jesus wanted to make sure he understood what it meant to be good. Furthermore, the only way Jesus could be called good is if he were in fact the Son of God. So now we look at verses 20 through 23. Let's read that again. Verse 20 says, look at verse 20. He says, "I have kept all these from my youth," he said. And when Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." But after that, after he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. I want you to underline that key phrase too. One thing. It says, "You still lack one thing." I just want to ask you a question. What is that one thing that is between you and God? Because it has been said, anything that is between you and God is closer to God than you are. Think on that. So now we look at verses 22-23. When Jesus recited several of the Ten Commandments that address our relations with other people, the man assured him that he had kept them all since childhood, verses 20 and 21. The man was either a bold liar or self-deceived. But rather than challenge this claim, and you know how we are as people, someone tells us something like that, we won't challenge them on what they said. But yet we want to follow Christ. Well, if we're going to follow the example of Christ, once again, you have to notice what he did. So Jesus recited first, he recited several of the Ten Commandments and addresses our relations with other people. The man assured him that he had kept them all since childhood. Once again, the man was either a bold liar or self-deceived. But rather than challenge the claim of perfect righteousness, Jesus appealed to the one thing that he knew the man lacked: love for his neighbor. So he told him to sell everything and give it to the poor so that he would have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Verse 22. Upon hearing this, the man became extremely sad because he was very rich. His love for his wealth superseded his love for people, which now goes back to that verse, which was verse 22. When Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing." So now I'm going to ask that same. I'm going to ask that in a question form. What is that one thing that is holding you back? Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of us that are listening to this podcast, whatever this man's riches were, it doesn't pale comparison to what he had. But yet we still have one thing that could be holding us back. It's not for you to comment on. It's just something for you to think on. What is the one thing? Like I said earlier, anything that's between you and God is closer to God than you are. You need to work on removing that. It could be your job. It could be your automobile. It could be your children. Anything that you put before God is closer to God than you are. In essence, it becomes your idol. What is that one thing that could possibly be preventing you from gaining eternal life? So now let's take a deeper look as we look at possessions and the kingdom. Seeing that he became sad, Jesus said how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I have to stop right there because some people will get this turned around and say, well, wealthy people can't go to heaven. First of all, I want to say this where you're wrong. The Bible does not say that. Now, there are some that are listening saying, well, you shouldn't say people are wrong. Well, you're either wrong or you're right. Now, let's look at this scripture once again. Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? He said how hard. He didn't say that they couldn't, but it's hard because we hate to give up stuff. We start worshiping stuff instead of worshiping the Savior, which is why, come in essence, it becomes hard to enter into the kingdom because we end up like that rich young ruler and we lack that one thing, that thing that we're holding on to that we don't want to separate from that could be preventing us from getting eternal life. Verse 25 says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Well, we are going to break that down. Camel going through the eye of a needle. Just what does that mean? And we're going to look at another translation. In the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, Bible says in Matthew 19:24, I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom. So what does that actually mean? And we're going to get back into the lesson, but we have to give explanation of what things mean. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. One of the most well-known scripture passages about wealth is also one of the most confusing. Why does Jesus compare the wealthy with camels? And is he really saying that rich won't make it into heaven? There's that question again. The scene takes place in Judea, where Jesus has just finished an illustration about welcoming children into his kingdom. A rich young man comes up to Jesus and asks him how to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells the young man to keep God's commandment, which the man quickly claims to have kept. What do I still lack? He asks, Matthew 19:20. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus to his disciples, truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom. That's in Matthew 19:21-24. So you can see Matthew and Luke, different writers, but they both mean the same thing. So what's immediately obvious is that camels are far too large to fit through the eye of needles. It's ridiculous to even suggest it. So what is the meaning of that verse? Was Jesus really saying that rich people can't enter the kingdom of God? Let's look more closely at the passage to see what we can learn. Camels, needles, and the rich. If Jesus was talking about an actual camel and an actual needle, then the rich are in big trouble. Commentary suggests that he may have been saying something different. The Aramaic word for rope, camelon, was almost identical to the Greek word for camel, which appears in the verse. Some scholars say that the word was misspelled, and so Jesus may have been making an analogy to threading a thick rope through the eye of a needle, not a large animal. In other words, he may have been referring to something extremely difficult, but not impossible. Other commentary suggests that at that time, there was a type of small gate called a needle. Still, others insist that Jesus' statement was as absurd as it sounds, actually referring to our same notions of camels and needles. There are several potential explanations for what camels and needles could have meant in biblical times. However, all of them point to the same lesson. Jesus said it is extremely difficult, if not possible, for a rich person to enter his kingdom. In fact, when the disciples then speculate that no one can be saved, Jesus replies, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus himself settles the question. He was intentionally referring to something impossible. So back to that camel. And you have to be careful when you listen to some say in varying commentaries. That needle, I believe, was right here. When it said other commentators suggest that at that time there was a type of small gate called a needle. And in order for the camel to get through that needle, the camel basically had to bend down because the camel was so tall. So he had to bend down and maneuver his way through that gate, which was called a needle. Which is why I come later on, he said, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So getting back to the lesson as we get ready to wrap this up. Amen. So Jesus used his encounter with the rich young ruler to warn his disciples about the dangers of wealth. He said, it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Chapter 18, verse 24.
In fact, squeezing a camel through the eye of a needle would be easier, verse 25, because the rich think that they are self-sufficient and that their wealth makes them acceptable before God. The disciples were shocked. Then who can be saved was the question that was asked in verse 26. Jesus answered, "What is impossible with man is possible with God," verse 27. In other words, anyone can be saved, rich or poor. There it is. So that dispels how we take the scripture and misquote it or misinterpret it right here. Once again, anyone can be saved, rich or poor. All are sinners and all deserve eternal judgment. It's not possible for a single person to receive salvation apart from God's grace. God can work in the hearts and minds of even the wealthy to humble them so that they look to him rather than to their riches as their source of eternal life. So now as we get back into the scripture reading, take a look here at verses 28 through 30. Then Peter said, "Look, we have left what we had and followed you." So he said to them, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left a house, wife or brother or sisters, parents or children, because of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more at this time and eternal life in the age to come." That's verses 28 through 30, because, you know, Peter was one that always spoke up. So just what did that mean right there? And we're going to conclude right here. Since the rich young ruler was unwilling to sacrifice his wealth for the kingdom of God, Peter wanted to know what would happen to those believers who actually responded faithfully, who were willing to leave everything for Jesus in verse 28. Jesus promised that a true commitment of discipleship would be rewarded. No sacrifice made for God's kingdom agenda gets overlooked or forgotten. Faithful kingdom disciples will be repaid sometimes in history, but ultimately in eternity, verses 29 and 30. Translation, you got to hold on and hold out and wait to see what the end is going to be. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this podcast, and I hope that when you have an encounter with Jesus, that you leave in a better condition, a better frame of mind. There's a saying that goes like this: no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. I have enjoyed bringing this word to you. If this word has been a blessing to you, I ask that you do this for me. Like it, but most importantly, share it. Share it with others that you are concerned for. Share it with others that you love. Share it with others that you care about. Because in times like these, with everything that's going on around us, if ever there was a time that we needed a Savior, we surely do need him. Until the next time, be blessed and be a blessing and share a blessing.